Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues discussing the procedure involved in processing the Korban Mincha, and says the Mishnah Kol Menachos Tunos Shloish Meis Shifa VeChamesh Meis Pita. When they process the grain to make a Korban Mincha, it has Shifa. This is machlok is how to understand shifa. Either it's rolled through the fingers, or it's rolled between the two hands. V'chamesh mi'is pita. Pita means that it's pounded on. Some say it's pounded with the fist. Others say it's pounded with the back of the hand. Others say that it's pounded with the feet, actually. Which is an interesting discussion, because there are poskim that suggest that, just like we know that when we wake up in the morning, we're supposed to wash our hands because of the ruach tumah that comes on those hands in the evening, the feet may even be more of an issue than the hands, and therefore those poskim find it difficult to assume that feet should be allowed to be used. What exactly did they have the sheaf and the bita on? So we have a machlokes. Tanakama holds shifa be'ita bechitin. The grain itself had shifa and be'ita. Rabbi Yosi holds that it was the dough that had shifa and be'ita. Continues the Mishnah. Kol ha-menachos, all karban mincha, bar esa eser. They were brought 10 loaves, chutz, melechem aponim, bechaviti kohen gadol. Except the lechem aponim and the chavitei kohen gadol, that they weren't 10 loaves, shein bo shtei mesrei, there were 12 loaves. The mefarshim say that it isn't limited to menachos made out of wheat, the typical korban mincha, but even the menachos made out of sa'irim, the mechas sa'imer, the mechas kanos, also were made out of 10 loaves. I saw a very interesting question. We know that the Korban Minchas Chayva, as we just learned, is made out of 10 loaves. It's made out of, and each loaf is made out of a sarin of flour. We'll discuss this more in Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow's Shir. But we also know that the halacha is that if one chooses to bring a larger Korban Mincha, he's allowed to, provided that it isn't bigger than 60 sarin. Famous Gemara, because Kol Haroi Labila. Anything that has the ability to be mixed, ain't bila ma'kevus, but the mixing is not crucial. Kosh ain't royal bila, but where mixing is not possible, bila ma'kevus, but the bila is an issue. And therefore, korban mincha made out of 60 isarin, up to 60 isarin, is still mixable, and you could have it up to that amount. It's not a question that the mefarshim discuss, is if somebody chose indeed to bring this large korban mincha out of up to 60 isarin. Will those 60 sarin be divided into 10 loaves? As our Mishnah says, a Korban Mincha should always be 10 loaves, just every loaf will be larger. Or will they be, every sarin, only one loaf, and it'll only be 10 loaves? Furthermore, I saw Machlokes Rishayim. We discussed, as recently as in the previous year, that normally the Kemitza, according to the opinion of Tanakama, is done after the Mincha is made into a challah. The one exception is the Mincha Soilus. The Mincha Soilus is take the kemitzah is done when it's flour. Does that din that it, the kemitzah is done when it's flour have any relation to this din of the 10 loaves? Do we say that the two rules are not connected? Indeed, by the Mincha Soilus, the kemitzah is done when it's flour, but that has no bearing that there's still supposed to be 10 loaves. Or perhaps the din of 10 loaves is only by a korban mincha where the kemitzah is done, when it's already loaves. But the mincha soilus, where the kemitzah is done when it's still flour, may have a different rule regarding the 10 loaves. So this was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ramei Oimer, Ramei disagrees, and the Gemara is going to explain the basis of the machloikus. Kulas boim shtei masrei, all korban mincha came from 12 loaves, chutz michalas toida v'nazirois, except that we know the The Chalas Taida, we'll discuss this in tomorrow's shir, that there were 40 loaves that came along with every Karban Taida, four different types, 10 times 4, so we have the number 10, the Naziris, and the Karban Naziris that also have loaves coming with them, that there, even Rameya agrees, Shem Ba'as S.S., that there are 10 loaves at a time. So our Mishnah began with the Halacha of Sheifa and Be'ita. Interesting to point out that the Mefarshim make the observation that we know the Karban Mincha is supposed to be matzah. And usually, when you process matzah, you want to try to process it as quickly as possible. And here, we're going to slow down the process with Sheifa and Be'ita. So why is it permitted? So there's really two answers in the Mefarshim. One answer is that Kohanim's reasoning, that the Sheif and Be'ita were done by the Kohanim, and they know how to do it in a way that it won't become chametz. Another pshat is that when is there a concern that something's going to become chametz when you're not working with it? The Sheif and Be'ita, you're working, and that's for it prevents it from being chametz, even if it takes longer to process. So the Braisa describes the Sheifa Be'ita procedure. Shaf Achas. First you do one Sheifa, Ubaid Shtayim, and then you do two Be'itas. Then you do Shaf Shtayim, you do two Sheifas, and then you do Ubaid Shlosha three Be'itas. You keep on increasing. And as the Mefarshim explain, we look at the number of our Mishnah that says you do 300 Sheifas and 500 Be'itas. If you try to do the math, where you go 1, 2, then 2, 3, and then 3, 4, and keep on going, you're going to end up with this result of 300 sheifas and 500 be'itas. Now, however, asked the Gemara, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, when we speak about the sheifa, which we said rolling the grain or the dough, how do we look at it? Asked Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amtuyev asuyachad, do we look at it as rolling in one direction and then rolling back in the other direction as one shifa? Or do we look at it as amtuye vesuye, going back and forth are considered two motions? And the Gemara remains with a teiku. So we learned in the Mishnah that the opinion of the Tanakama was shifa be'itu were done on the chitin, and Rabbi Yossi Aimer, it was done on the dough. Ask the Gemara, in understanding the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, what does Rabbi Yossi mean? Does Rabbi Yossi mean, Ibailuhu, that the sheaf and beat are strictly done on the batzik, on the dough, v'loy b'chitin? There's no point, according to Rabbi Yossi, of doing the sheaf and beita on the grain. I don't know, or maybe what Rabbi Yossi means is, after batzik, you do it on the dough, or on the grain. You have a choice. Says the Gemara, Toshma, the answer to this question, the Tanya Shifa Bita B'chitin, Rabbi Yosayma, Shifa Bita B'batzik. Which means that according to Rabbi Yosayma, it's strictly done on the dough. Ask the Rajba, how do we understand the Gemara's teretz? The Rajba says a very beautiful explanation in the Gemara. He says, if Rabbi Yosayma did not mean to argue with the Tanakama, if all Rabbi Yosayma meant to say was that you could do the chitin, or you could do bitza, or you could do the batzik, then Rabbi Yossi wouldn't have repeated the word shifa be'ita b'batzik. The Tanakhama says chitin, and Rabbi Yossi would have said b'batzik. The fact that we find Rabbi Yossi repeating the words shifa be'ita is trying, Rabbi Yossi is trying to teach us that your shifa be'ita, my shifa be'ita are looked at differently. My shifa be'ita is with the dough, says Rabbi Yossi, and yours is with the chitin. And as the Mefarshim explained, because according to the, there's a fundamental difference of opinion, what is the purpose of the Sheifa and the Be'ita? According to the Tanakhama, the purpose of the Sheifa Be'ita is to clean the dough, is to clean the grain. And therefore, you do Sheifa Be'ita, it takes off all of the subin, all of the impurities from the grain. And therefore, the Sheifa Be'ita has to be specifically done on the chitin. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yossi, the purpose of the Sheifa Be'ita is to make the dough uniform, not lumpy. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's specifically done on the batzik, not on the chitin. So we learned in the Mishnah, the opinion of Yehuda, that all Karban Mincha are made into 10 loaves, except for the Lechem Aponim and the Chavitei Kohen Gadol. Karban Mincha Shtei Mesrei, says the Gemara. How does Rabbi Yehuda arrive at his opinion? Says the word lacham panya behedik sibahu. The Torah says explicitly that the lacham panya should be 12 loaves. Chavite koin godl. Asya chuka chuka melakam aparam. We learn in Gzeres Shavah that the Torah uses the word chuka by both of them. Here the Torah uses the words chayk oilam lashem kol takter ki kadoshim hu lashem misha shem chayk oilam. Even though, as the Raja points out, the Torah uses the words chayk kazach mneich aaron yechlenu chayk hashem la'olam, that the Torah uses the words chayk regarding all carbon minchas, says the Rajba, there the word chayk is not speaking about the carbon mincha itself. It speaks about the eating of the carbon mincha. Here, the gzeir shav of chuka chuka refers to the carbon mincha itself. As yechuka chuka melachim aponim, and therefore, just like the lachim aponim is 12, so too the chavite going godl. Continues the brisa, kol menachas the boas eser esem nolam. How do we know that all other carbon minchas are made out of 10 loaves? Says the Gemara, Gomim melachme toida. We learn a gzeres shava from lachme toida. Mala halon, binyanav. Mala halon, just like the lachem toida, as we explained in the Mishnah, is 10 loaves, so too here it's 10 loaves. Ask the Gemara. So we have two precedents. One is the lachem upon is 12 loaves. One is the lachme toida, 10 loaves. Ask the Gemara, why do we learn the halach of all carbon minchas from the lachme toida? Why don't we learn it instead from the lachem aponim? The leil of malachem aponim, and we'll have mala halon, just like the lachem aponim, ashtem esriya, 12 loaves, so too will every carbon mincha be 12 loaves, avkan shtem esri. So it's sort of a first mask that we have a rule throughout Shas, to fastim reveloi to fasta. That we have a choice to learn. We always learn the smaller chiddush. So we have a choice to learn from one place where we'll have 10 loaves, or another place that teaches us we have 12 loaves. Certainly we should learn from the place that teaches us 10 loaves. Answer the Mefarshim. Where do we say tfasta mu'a tfasta? Tfasta mu'a tfasta? That's when we're saying a chiddush. So we say, we always say the smaller chiddush before we say the bigger chiddush. But when we're not speaking about that type of a situation, rather, we're speaking about a situation of a number, is a 10, is a 12, there is no concept of tfasta mu tfasta, tfasta mu rubalai mu tfasta. So again, the Gemara's question is, we have a choice from where to learn the halacha of the regular carbon mincha. Do we learn it from lachme toida, which will result in 10 loaves, or do we learn it from lachme aponim? And Rabbi Yehuda is saying we learn it from the lachme toida, and the Gemara says, asking why. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Malach Mitoida Avalamelef. It makes more sense to learn it from the Lach Mitoida. Shekain, it has all the following common characteristics. Yochid, an individual brings the Lach Mitoida, the carbon toida, and an individual brings the carbon mincha. The Lach Maponim is brought by the Tzibur. Hamisnadiv, both of them are donated carbonus. The Lach Maponim is not donated, it's an obligation. Shemen, the carbon mincha, and the lachme toida have oil. The lachme aponim does not. Nifsal, both of them come possel with lina. That means, if you leave over the carbon toida overnight, it becomes possel. If you leave over the carbon mincha overnight, it becomes possel. Whereas the lachme aponim is kept on the shulchan, which is there all week. So I sort of a farshim ask, and I didn't see an answer to this question, a gevaldig kasha. It's not to say that there's no psolina by the lechem upon him. There is a psolina by the lechem upon him. Just the psolina by the lechem upon him only kicks in after a week. That means, just like by the shlomim, there's psolina, but shnei yom v'lai lechot. So yes, there's man of lina by the lechem upon, by the regular, by carbon toida is one day. The psolina by lechem aponim is a week. That's not to say that there is no psolina. So why is the Gemara saying that this does and this doesn't? Shalai b'Shabbos, a carbon mincha may not be brought on Shabbos. A carbon toida may not be brought on Shabbos. The lechem aponim is brought on Shabbos. And as the Mefarshim say, the actual avoid of the lechem aponim doesn't involve any chil Shabbos. It's just putting it in and taking it out of the shulchan. But as we learned earlier in our Masechta, every Shabbos they burnt the bezichei levoina that were on top of the shulchan, which involves Chil Shabbos, v'shloi b'tumah. You can't bring a carbon taida or private carbon mincha when you're tamei. The lechem aponim is a carbon tzibur and it's doicha tuma. That's why the Gemara is saying it makes sense to learn the halacha of a mincha from the lechem taida. Ask the Gemara, we could argue the other way. Adarabba, melechem aponim have leila melef. We should learn the halacha of the carbon mincha from the lechem aponim because it has all of the following common characteristics. Shekein hegdish, the carbon mincha is kodesh hakodashim. The carbon, the lechem aponim is kodesh hakodashim. Levoina, they both have levoina with them. The lechem toida does not have levoina. Matzah, the carbon mincha is purely matzah. The lechem aponim is matzah. Whereas, as we're going to learn tomorrow, shir, the lechem toida have 10 loaves of chametz. The etzem, the carbon mincha is an independent carbon. The lechem aponim is an independent carbon. The lechem toida are only here as an accompaniment to the carbon toida. So we have all the common characteristics with the lechem aponim, and therefore suggest the Gemara, maybe we should learn the number of loaves by the minchas from the lechem aponim. Answers the Gemara, hanach nefishin. There's still more common characteristics with the lechem toida than there are with the lechem aponim, and therefore we prefer to learn from the lechem toida than from the lechem aponim. We learned the Masechta Zvachim, many sugyas, that the darkei halimud, the way that we explain psukim in the Torah, that we have in the rest of the Torah, there are special rules by kachin. We spoke about a double hekish, that the Gemara says that a double hekish, even though in the whole Torah is acceptable, in kachim it's not acceptable. So, ask the Gemara. One of the questions that the Gemara in Masechta Zvachim posed was if something that was learnt with a Gzeri Shava, can we extend and learn with a Binyan Av? Machloik Ashaylim Masechta Zvachim. Ask the Gemara, V'Sfirulon, if the halach is the Dover Halamed B'Gzeri Shava, Chayazer Malamed Binyan Av, that we start with a Gzeri Shava, we can extend it with a Binyan Av. So yes, we've explained why we can't learn, why it makes more sense to learn from the lechem toida than from the lechem aponim. But why don't we learn from the chavite kohen gadol? Ma'ala halon, as we said earlier, that the gzeri shava taught us shteim asrei, that there are 12 loaves brought by the chavite kohen gadol. Afkan, we should extend it and say so too is the halacha by the karmel mincha shteim asrei. The first will start with the gzeri shava between chavite kohen gadol and lechem aponim, and then it will be extended with a binyan av between menachas and chavite kohen gadol. So if we say that a binyan av following a gzeri shava is not acceptable derech halimud, the Gemara's kasha doesn't begin. But if we say that it is a legitimate derech halimud, so why, ask the Gemara, don't we learn the halacha of menachas from chavite kohen gadol, which will result in 12 loaves, rather than learning it from lachme toida, which results in 10 loaves? Answers the Gemara, mistabra malachme toida avla melef. It makes more sense to learn it from the lachme toida because it has all of the following characteristics. Shekein hedjet, the chavit, the menachas and the lachme toida are brought by a hedjet. The chavit the kohen gadol are brought specifically by the kohen gadol. Shesnadiv, karav minchas donated, the lachme toida are donated. The chavitim are not donated, they're an obligation. Chatzon, we learned, we spoke about it just yesterday, the chavite kohen gadol have a very unique rule that it's brought machtzisa b'boker, machtzisa b'nabayim, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Whereas the lachmi toida, the karbon mincha, are brought all whole, not in two halves. Lepigel, the halach is that in order for something to be able to become pigel, we've learned this halacha many times, it has to have a matter. The zrikas adam, or the burning of the kaimitz, is called a matter. So by karbon mincha, we burn the kaimitz. By karbon toida, we do zrikas adam. So it has a matter, and therefore, since it has a matter, it's a candidate for pigel. Whereas the chavite kohen gadol are completely, it's a karbon mincha of a kohen gadol, so they're completely burnt on the mizbeach, since they're completely burnt on the Mizbeach, there is no matir, and it's not a candidate for pigel. Shaloi b'Shabbos, mincha and carbon toid don't come on Shabbos, chaviti kain godl do. Shaloi b'tumma, a carbon toid and carbon mincha can't be brought b'tumma, chaviti kain godl can. Says the Gemara, yes, you found all of these common characteristics between the carbon toida and the chaviti kain godl, and the carbon mincha and the carbon toida, but we can make a different argument. Adarabba, the chaviti kain godl have a little melef. Why don't we prefer to learn from the chaviti kain godl? Because they have all of these following common characteristics. Shekein is sorin. A carbon mincha comes from an isorin. A carbon chaviti kain godl comes from an isorin, a flower. Carbon toida comes from more, as we'll see in tomorrow's shir. Keli, the halacha is that a carbon mincha and the chavita kohen gadol are prepared in a keli, whereas this carbon is not, the carbon lachme toida are not, don't become kaddish in the keli. We're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, in 2 days shir, the halach is that they become kaddish by the shechita of the carbon toida. That's how the lechem becomes kaddish. Hegdish, the carbon mincha and the chavita kohen gadol are both kaddish akadoshim, whereas the toida is kachikalim. Levoina, the mincha and the chavita kohen gadol require levoina, the carbon toida does not. Matzah, mincha and chavita kohen gadol are matzah. Toida has chametz loaves. Etzem, the chavita kohen gadol and the carbon mincha are independent kabbonis. The lachem of the carbon toida is only an accompaniment. Hagosha, they both of them, we have the hagosha procedure by the mincha and the chavita kohen gadol. There is no hagosha procedure by the lachmei toida. V'ishim, the chavita kohen gadol are completely burnt on the mizbeach. The carbon mincha, at least the chametz is burnt on the mizbeach. None of the loaves of the carbon toida are burnt. And says the Gemara, v'hanei nefishin, there are more common characteristics between the mincha and the chavitim than between the mincha and the toida. So why are we learning according to Rabbi Yehuda? Asked the Gemara, the halacha of 10 loaves by the carbon mincha from the carbon hedjit, shouldn't we better learn it from the carbon toida? Shouldn't we better learn it from the chavitim? Answers the Gemara, hedjit mehedjit ad aflei. The fact that a carbon mincha is brought by every individual, the fact that carbon toida is brought by individual, whereas the chavita kohen gadol are brought by the kohen gadol, is such an overriding reason that what makes the comparison between the mincha and the toida a much better comparison than the comparison between the mincha and the chavita. Remeya, we learned in our Mishnah, says that no, kulam bas, all carbon minchas come shteim esrei, 12 chalas. Besides, as we learned, the toida and the naziris. Mikasover, ask the Gemara, what is the basis for Remeya's reasoning? Isfirle, if Remeya is of the opinion, as we just discussed a few moments ago, the dova halomid begzeris shava, that if something is first learned through gzeris shava, even in kachim, it could be extended to be learned with a binyan av, chayzim b'malamid binyan av. So that's what he says. Yal mechaviti tekoin gadol. We consider the match between mincha and chaviti tekoin gadol better than the match between mincha and toida, because as we just explained, the hanin nefishin, the more common characteristics between the mincha and the chavitim than there are common characteristics between the mincha and the toida. If, however, says the Gemara, the Svirle, Remeyers of the opinion, the Dov Alam B'Gzer Shav, then a Kachim, if you first start with Gzer Shav, Eino Choyzer Malam Bin Yanav, we can't extend it to a Bin Yanav, says Remeyer, Yalaf Melechem upon him. Comparing the Mincha to Lechem upon him is the best match. Even though there may be more common characteristics, as we explained a few moments ago, between the Mincha and the Toida, versus between the Mincha and the Lechem upon him, still, as we said before, the mincha is kodesh hakadoshim, the lechem upon him is kodesh hakadoshim, whereas the carbon toida is not kodesh hakadoshim, and that factor, that they have this strong common characteristic that both kachim kachim is an overriding logic, is an overriding svara over everything else, and that's why Rameh considers the match between mincha and lechem aponim to be a better match, and therefore, just like the Torah says explicitly that the lechem aponim is 12 loaves, says Rameh, all minchas are 12 loaves. Yav me lechem aponim, because hegdish me hegdish adiflay. But Rameh agreed, as we said, the chutz melech metoydev and naziris, he agrees, shem boas essa, the debate from 10 loaves. Says the Gemara, where does Rameh take this from? Says the Gemara, lach metoydev behedik sibu. But the lach metoydev, the Torah says explicitly it's 10 loaves. Naziris, daramash shlomov, the Torah says in the parish of lach metoydev, the word shlomov, l'rabbi shalmi nazir, that have 10 loaves. Says the Gemara, Amr of Tuvi Bakisna Amr Shmuel, Lach Meitoidish often Arba Chalas Yotza. As we're going to learn in tomorrow's shiur, the proper way of bringing a carbon, bringing the loaves of the carbon toida, are to have four different types of loaves, 10 of each, and then one of each of the types are given to the Kayan, and the other 9 are eaten by the owner of the carbon toida. However, says the Gemara, if somebody only made 4 loaves, yotza. Ask the Gemara, Vabin and Abayim, as we just described, don't you have to have 40 loaves? Answers the Gemara, Lemitzvah. That's only Lechatchila. But ask the Gemara, isn't part of the procedure of the Lach Meitoida, Vaboya Frushit Shumim Minayu, that you have these 10 loaves, and you separate from those 10 loaves the part that's given to the Kayin? So if you have 40 loaves, so we could understand how you have a separation. But we only start off with 4 loaves. How do we have a separation? V'chi teima. So if you'll say, what Rishmu means is, you start with 4 loaves, and you take off a piece for every one of these 4 loaves. Says the Gemara, that wouldn't work. V'chi teima, the mafresh mikol chada v'chada. You take off a little piece from each loaf, that isn't acceptable. Because as we're going to learn tomorrow, shir, Echad Amar Rachmana, that you have to take off a whole loaf to give to the Kayin. Shalai Yitl Paris, you can't just give the Kayin a piece of a loaf. Answers the Gemara, the Freshina Belisa. Two Pshatim have Freshina Belisa, in the Rishonim of the Machlaikas. One Pshat is, that what the Gemara means is as follows. What Shmuel means to say is like this. You start off with this amount of flour. You separate it into 40 loaves. And you take off one loaf from each type, one loaf of each type and give it to the Kayin. And the other 9, instead of baking into 9 separate loaves, you bake it into one big loaf. And that's what Shmuel says is acceptable. That's how Rashi seems to learn. Other Rishonim say that Shmuel's saying even a bigger chiddush. That if you started off with 4 big loaves and you separate a piece and you give it to the Kayin at that point, so you're taking, that is considered fine. Where is the halacha you're not allowed to take off a piece? That's only when they're made into loaves. But it's still one big dough, it's fine. But then Taisus asked Kasha, and the Gemara alluded to this then earlier in our shir, that we're going to learn in the next parak of Mitzvah Shem, that the halacha is that the lechem doesn't become kadosh until it's baked. So how can we say that you could take it off and give it to the kohen when it's still dough? It isn't kadosh yet, until later when it's baked. Answers Taisus that even though he's doing the actual separation now, he says, I'm doing the separation now, but the Kedusha should only be chal when it's actually baked. Ask the Gemara, back on Shmuel's halacha, Meisvei, it says in a braisa, kol ha-menachas, shari b'midas chalson, o shemit b'midas chalson, k'sheres. So Mechalik is here too, how to learn. One pshat is, that instead of having 12 loaves, you have, instead of having 10 loaves, you have 12 or you have 8. Another pshat is, they're all supposed to be the exact same size, as we've been learning. Let's say you made some loaves larger and some loaves bigger. That means, smaller. That means you have the right number, just they're not all uniform in size. K'sheres. Chutz, milechem haponim, v'chavite kain godl, v'lach mitoida, v'naziris. So here it clearly says that the number 40 by the Lach Meitoida are absolutely essential. So how could Shmuel say that 4 are okay? Answers the Gemara, Hu damikai tana. Shmuel is going to agree with the following tana. The tanya it says in the brayso, kol amenachas shiriba b'midas chalson or shemit b'midas chalson. If you didn't make the proper number cheris, the only exception where it's not is lechem upon v'chavita kain gadol. So Shmuel, he doesn't include the lachmet oida. Obviously, the Tanakama of this price is of the opinion that the 40 is not absolutely essential, and Shmuel will agree with this Tana. The Yeshayimer Shmuel certainly doesn't agree with, holds af lachmet oida v'naziris have to be exactly the exact number. There's a question, what does the Tanakama hold by naziris? Continues the Gemara. Amar af Huna, Minchas Mafa, the Minchas Mafa that you're supposed to make, as we learned in our Mishnah, all Karim Minchas into 10 loaves. If you made it off a Chala Achas, if you made it just into one loaf, Yotza. My Tama, why? Says the Gemara Matzis Ksiv. Since the Torah uses the word Matzis, Beloshin Chaser, it doesn't have the Vav, the teaches that if you made only one, it's fine. Mask of La Rapapa, ask Rapapa. So you're saying, specifically because the Torah used the word matzis, that's why even if you made only one, it's fine. Haksiv matzois. If the Torah would have used the Lashon Rabbim loy, ask the Gemara, v'gabe lachmei toida, diksiv matzois. The Torah uses the words matzois. V'arav tebe bekisni, amishmul, lachmei toida sh'ofen abachalas yotza. If we're saying that wherever the Torah uses the word matzos molei, the number is absolutely required, so how could Shmuel just taught us that by the carbon tide, even though you're supposed to have 40, if you only had 4, it's fine? Answers the Gemara, clearly Shmuel's opinion, which is based on the opinion of a Tana, on top of our Amid, Pligi argues with this halacha. Continues the Mishnah, Oimei bar, asorin mishal asorin. The Oimer, we're supposed to have an asorin of flour, but we start with solid, with three saw flour, and we keep on sifting it. We'll discuss this more in the Gemara till we get down to one isarin. The shtei alachem, we're comprised of shtei esroinim. We start with sholosan, and we go down to two. The lechem upon him, we're esrei v'aba esroinim, esrei v'aba son. We had 24 esroinim, coming from 24 saw. Interesting Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says, what is the significance of 24? He says that the one carbon, he says it's Gemar Masech, the Yuma, that says the carbon that requires, it's Parhelm Dovish at Tzibur, that requires the most Kohanim involved in the Avodah is 24. So since we find that number 24, by that Avodah, where you can have one Avodah with 24 Kohanim, and the Kohanim gets from the Lechem upon him, that's why the Torah came up with the number 24. So the Mishnah clearly indicated that different Kabbanis, different Karban Mincha, start with different amount of flour. The Michas Oimer starts with a 3-to-1 ratio. Three saw tend up with two, would end up with one Isarin. The Shtei Alechem, a little less. Two Isarin, three Isarin for two. And the lechem upon him is 1-to-1. Why? What's the basis for this difference? My Tama explains the Gemara. Kivan, since the Oimer comes Michadosh, it comes from the new grain. That's what the whole purpose of the Michas Oimer is. And it also comes from this inferior grain. Misarnasi, it comes from barley. Isarn mufchalayasi, you can't end up with a good, clear amount of Isarn. El Mishal son, unless you started off with Shal son, until you sift and get off all of the impurities, so you have to start with three son to end up with a good Isarin. Whereas the Shtei Alechem, we learned in the Mishnah, the ratio is Shtei Esroin is Mishal son, Kivin the Machit Nasyan, since they come from a better quality grain, it comes from wheat. Afal Gav the Machadish Asyan, the Shtei Alechem as well comes from the Chadish. But still, since it's Chitin versus barley, you could get Shtei Esroinus, you could get two Isarin of good grain, Mishal Son, Lechem upon him. Mishal Son, Lechem upon him, we learned in the Mishnah, the ratio is Esrim Rabba Esroinus, Mi Esrim Rabba Amsar, Mai Tama, Kivin the Mechitin Asa, since they come from Chitin, Umay Yashin Asu, and it doesn't have to come from the Chodesh, the new grain, it has more impurities, Isarin Mufchor asim and saw. You could get one good isarin just out of a saw. But point out the mefarshim. So from here we see that we should always use yashan flour for the lechem upon him. Because what's the Gemara saying? Because since the lechem upon him comes from yashan, you could get an isarin, a good isarin out of a saw. But it's only because it's yashan. If you're going to use chadash, the ratio would change. So you should be careful always to bring the lechem upon him from yashan. Tana Abonin, continues the Braisa. Kol menachas shiribim b'midas isroinin or shemit b'midas isarin. You don't have the right amount. Psulis. Why? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is because the Torah gave us this number. And if you do a different number, you violated what the Torah said. It's a gzeiras akasiv that you have to have specifically isarin. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggests is that let's say you'll have more than isarin. So we know what happens by Karv Mincha. We keep on repeating this halakha. You take out a kaimitz, and that's what you burn in the Mizbeach, and the rest is put on, and the rest is eaten by the Kahanim. The kaimitz corresponds to the rest of the Karv Mincha. But when is the kaimitz considered a valid kaimitz? If you start with an isarin. Were that number to change, then the kaimitz should be adjusted. But you have to bring a kaimitz. But the kaimitz isn't a valid kaimitz if you have more or less than an isarin, and therefore the halacha is that if you don't have an exact isarin, the whole karban mincha becomes disqualified. However, says the Braisa, Riba b'midasan shlehem, or shemiyat b'midasan. We just learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara that you start with a certain amount of saw, and then you end up with an isarin. That's ksheris. And as the Mefarshim explained, because as the Gemara explained, what's the purpose of starting with this much saw to end up with isarin? Because it's only to end up with a perfect amount. We're pure. So that's normally how you get to it. But if you could get to pure flour without that amount of flat grain that you begin with, it's fine. Says the Mishnah, the Omer was sifted with 13 sifters. The Mishnah, the Gemara will explain exactly how it was done. Shtei lechem was done, b'shtei mesrei. The lechem upon him, b'yur aleph. Rav Shimon Omer, lo yayin kitzva. There was no specific amount. You bring the proper amount of pure flour. It should be sifted properly. The Rishonim try to analyze the opinion of Rav Shimon in two questions. One question is Rav Shimon only arguing in the din of our Mishnah that the Tanakhama said that you have 13 or 12 sifters? Rav Shimon says you don't necessarily have that. But in the din that we learned in the previous Mishnah, how much saw you should start with, there Rav Shimon agrees. Or could be Rav Shimon disagrees with the din of the previous Mishnah as well. He just wants you to have good flour. He doesn't care how much you start with. One Shiloh. Another Shiloh is how to understand Rav Shimon in the Mishnah. Is Rav Shimon only arguing on the last case? That the Tanakham has said that the Lechem upon him had 11 sifters. So Rav Shimon disagrees. But by all other Kabbonists, Rav Shimon will agree with the Tanakhama, by the Shmichas Omer, the Shtei Lechem, or could be he disagrees even by the Michas Omer and by the Shtei Lechem as well. And as long as you have good flour, it's good enough. There's no hard and fast rule how many sifters you have to have. Says the Gemara, Taner Abonin, Bedaka Begasa, Bedaka Begasa. So the way most Mepharshim explain the Gemara is as follows. The Gemara is explaining how these 13 sifters work. And what the Gemara is saying is the way it works is there are really two purposes of the sifting. One is to take off the psoilus, the subin, the chaff, and another purpose is to take off any dust. So you have two different types of sifters, one to do this and one to do that. Rav Shimon was Omer, Shalosh Asher Nafis Hay B'Migdash. There were 13 sieves in the base of Migdash, one on top of the other, Zula Malam Zuv, Zula Malam Zuv, El Yarna Kalat Suvin, Tachtana Kalat Psoilus. Which means that you have these 13 sieves with holes that kept on getting smaller and smaller, and like that you filter out all of the impurities. We learned in the Mishnah of Shimon Omer Lo Hayin Kitzva. Tana Rabbanan Soilus Vafisa, Melamed Shnikachas Soilus. You could buy flour for the lechem upon him. That's the way most Mepharshim learn. Umanayin Shafil Chitim. You could buy grain or flour. Tamaloymer Bikomakim. So you have a choice. You could buy soilus, or you could buy grain, whatever you want. continues the brisa, yochel ap shamanachas kain. By all karim minchas, you should have the same option. Tamalayma oisa nechisachin. By lechem upon him, strictly you have this rule that you have a choice. What does nechisachin mean? Amar Rav Elazar, hatayra chasam amanish Yisrael. The Torah is concerned about Jewish money. And therefore, since the lechem upon him is brought every week, and since the lechem upon him, as we learned earlier, is a large amount, 24 sarin, so in order to avoid the expense, the Torah gives us an option. You could buy silas, you could buy chitin, whatever is better and cheaper and more economical. The Amar Farshim, the learned Gemara, is just the opposite. That the lechem upon him, because if we look at all the menachas that are brought over the year, versus the lechem upon him, which is indeed brought every week, there's more flour there than by the lechem upon him. Again, we're going to learn the Gemara that's talking about the lechem upon him. And because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, is concerned about our financial building, our financial well-being, therefore, the Torah says, we could have the choice, whatever's more economical. Ask the Gemara, where do we find that the Torah is concerned about Jewish financial well-being? The Ksiv Eshkistas Edev Spiram. The Torah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to talk to the stone, he says, in order to have water, not just for the people, but even for the animals. And as Ramosha in the Sefer Drash Moshe explains this Gemara, he says, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only feeds people, he feeds animals. The Pasuk says, we say it every morning, Noisin Levehema Lachmai. However, here we're not talking about just feeding, here we're talking about a nace. Normally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't make a nace for animals. Why do we find that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a nace even on behalf of animals? Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that our animals should survive. The Night of Yehuda asks, here our Gemara, we find the concept of Atayra Chasa of Amonim Shei Yisrael. On the other hand, we find that Ein Anias V'makam Ashiris. For example, we learned that the halacha is that if the begadim, if the clothing of the kohen gets dirty, they didn't take it to the laundry. Ein anias v'makom ashiris. So how do we reconcile these two concepts? So he says that once something is already hegdish, there is ein anias v'makom ashiris. When something is not hegdish, then we say a Torah chasa v'manu Yisrael. Furthermore, the Noda Behuda asks that our Gemara is saying that the basis for a Torah chasa v'manu Yisrael is the case of a shkisus eid of a spirum. Throughout the Midrashim, the Gemara uses, they use a different makar, a different source. The Pasuk says that if somebody has tzaras in the house, the Torah says, Afinu es habayis, they should take out all the kalim from the house. And the famous Rashi says, why? All the other kalim, even if they become tamei, you could be matar them. But the klicheres, which are the least expensive kalim, we know we can't be matar a klicheres by going to the mikvah. So if the house will become tamei, the only way they can become tamei is you have to discard them, you have to break them. Torah chasam manim shi Yisrael. So what is the proper source? This or that? So the Noda Behuda says that there, that we should, that the proper source is our Gemara. Why? Because there, of course, if you could avoid a loss, you have to do everything to avoid a loss. That's logical. Here we're learning a much bigger din. Here we're learning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a nace, as I explained earlier. That's the concept of Harichas Manash Yisrael. There are others that say it really depends on if Tzar Bal Chaim is a Daraisa or Darabonim. If we hold Tzar Bal Chaim is a Daraisa, so this isn't a good source. That's why you have to learn from there. If Tzar Bal Chaim is not a Daraisa, so then this is a good source. Other than Nafkamina is, what Kalim have to be taken out? If we say it's only Kli Cheres, it's a good source. But there are versions that say that all Kalim should be taken out. So it's not a source about a Torah Chasa, that's why this source is better. Two interesting points to end the shiur. I saw a fascinating Sefer Chassidim. If I didn't see it myself, I wouldn't repeat it. The Sefer Chassidim says that we know, we're learning through Shas, that many halachas that are midaraisa are not explicit in the Torah. They learn through Gzeir Shava and Hekish and all the different Da'ake Halimut. Wouldn't it make more sense, says the Sefer Chassidim, that it should be explicit in the Torah? Says the Sefer Chassidim, but if that would be the case, then the Torah would be much larger than it actually is. And a Torah Chasam and Manim Shiyasra, they shouldn't have to write such a long Sefer Torah. You would have to spend so much money on a large cloth and on a cipher. Torah Chasam and Manim Shiyasra. Then I saw a very sharp fart from the Kotzka. The Kotzka would be very careful to pay the rebbeim of his children very high wages. So they asked him, why are you so generous? So he says, Torah chasam manim shi Yisrael. I'm paying high wages to the Rebbe. If the Rebbe won't be successful, it'll turn out that the money was a waste. The Torah doesn't want money to be a waste. So by paying high wages, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that the wages don't go to waste and my children will turn out to be Talmid HaChachamim. HaNolach El Menachas Nekmatzes.